Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio Light. This show is brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host tonight, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and this show is sponsored by the Comlock Center, putting birth and death back together again. They can be found on the web at Comlock, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Our guest tonight is Joseph P. Scheel III, medium, artist, poet, and author. If any time during the show you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. Please keep in mind that we are interviewing Joe, and he will not be opening to receive spirit communication during this show. And Bob, what do you have for us tonight?
Am I supposed to have something?
some words of wisdom.
Well, you know, we had our local afterlife discussion group last night, which
in Cold Spring Harbor.
Fran and I facilitate that group, a local group. And I'm always amazed in these groups because, you know, we learn as much from everybody there as they learn, you know, from us. And it always, sometimes it reinforces some beliefs and sometimes it opens up questions. And one thing, several things came out of it. First, we had a new member of the group who was also a hospice chaplain, and I asked her, in her opinion, you know, what percentage of the people in hospice that she was with all these years, and she was doing it for many years, had a deathbed vision. And her answer was, 90%, 90, which was not surprising, but reaffirming, because we've interviewed other hospice personnel, and they all say the same thing. You know, it's a vast majority of people in hospice that have deathbed visions, and they can't be attributed to, hallucinations or wishful thinking. It's just, you know, the two dominant people have them when they're lucid, when they're not lucid, when they're having medication, when they don't have any medication. So that was really reaffirming to me. It's just another form of validation. Were you surprised at all to hear
that? No, I really expected her to give a big number like that, especially since all of the professionals are beginning to open up and share on that same note, particularly hospice professionals. You know, up until now, it's been almost like a battle to get them to recognize that something's going on before each and every one of these patients cross over.
Right.
You know, don't talk about it, don't talk to the families about it, blah, 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 blah. They put up this wall, and it seems like finally the wall is crumbling down, and it's a good feeling.
Yeah. I also had a smile a bit. There was a member of the group that was talking about dream visits that she had, and she had some you would consider them to be very significant dream visits, you know, where she saw a deceased loved one who smiled appeared to her, you know, wearing certain clothing and so forth. And she was lamenting, you know, why is it that when she gets these, they're not more clear, and there's not a lot of verbal exchange going on, and you know, and it just, how many times have we heard that, you know, people, especially when it comes to mediumship, a lot of people think that mediums have this direct phone connection. It's like talking on the phone and you could just say anything they want, and it's a common objection that you hear the mediumship, well, if a medium's really connecting with the dead, they would know the person's exact first name and last name and social security number and, you know, and everything else. But whether you get it information through a medium or you get it personally, it doesn't work that way, you know, for a lot of reasons, you know.
I mean, right. I think the common error that's being made is that when somebody sits with a medium, or even when you see mediums on TV, although a lot of that is edited, even so, similar to when you're sitting face-to-face with any medium, they speak to you like I'm speaking to you right now. So the assumption from the sitter is that that's how spirit is speaking to them, and that's not the case. And that's where all of this criticism and helplessness and down on dream visits and all that comes from, because they expect it to be a certain way, but nobody said it was that way.
Right.
They just expect it to be that way.
Yeah, and, you know, it also raises the question of how much evidence is enough. You know, people always crave more and more and more and more. But, you know, just going back to the dream visits again, any form of spirit communication, I still think that it's not an easy task for those without a body to communicate with this dense physical world.
How could it possibly be?
Right.
They're in a different dimension than we are. We have trouble having, even when people study how to have and practice how to have out-of-body experiences so that they can enjoy going through a different dimensional, passing through time, that takes a lot of work and a lot of study and a lot of meditation and a lot of an altered state. Of course, the reverse has to be true.
Right, and people have to bear that in mind. You know, you're going to get bits and pieces, and, you know, the people on the other side are trying very, very hard and probably have help, you know, but it's also probably a learning
Right, I also want to throw out there, because I hear it a lot, people are saying they're not communicating with me. But the reality is they could be communicating. You're not being aware of it, that you're not opening up to it. They don't understand that there's two sides to this. You know, if somebody calls you on the phone here, you still have to pick up the phone at the other end.
Right.
You know?
Well, we also hear reports, and that's something that we could talk to Joe about later on, and also, you know, it'll be a topic at our upcoming medium convention in Florida. But a lot of people will say, well, I went to this medium, and the medium, you know, gave me, you know, these pieces of information about my future, you know. And then later, you know, it came true. And my response, I try to find out more. I mean, in what context? Were they bringing through, you know, a loved one, you know, who gave you this information? And very often it's no. They just, you know, so I said, well, that's not mediumship. It's great that, you know, they have that psychic ability, but that doesn't prove that any loved ones still survive, you know.
Right.
You know, so people confuse the term of psychic and mediumship, and they really don't see the difference. And I've even come across mediums that don't see the difference. You know?
Yeah, and that's a shame, because there's a huge difference,
right,
particularly for the bereaved who need to know that they are going to see their loved ones again.
Yeah. So, you know, as you mentioned, we have a wonderful guest tonight, author and certified medium Joseph Shields.
So an artist.
Well, I'll introduce him, but we have we'll be back in a few minutes and with Joe Shields, so stay with us.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Joe Scheel. Our sponsor is the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. Bob?
And Joseph Scheel III is a psychic medium certified by Forever Family Foundation. In addition to his evidential mediumship, Joe's an accomplished spirit artist capable of translating images that he senses from those in spirit to paper drawings and portraits. In addition to his mediumship work, Joe's a guest tutor at the prestigious Arthur Findlay College in England. He's a Reiki master healer. He's an author, actually an author of The Edge of Wilderness, a book of poetry, original poetry. He's a teacher. He's a musician. He's a motivational speaker. And I can go on and on. But the website is his name, josephscheel.com. Joe, welcome to the show. Nice to talk to you again.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I mentioned in the intro, you know, the term evidential mediumship. So some might hear that question and say, why are you saying evidential mediumship? I mean, the process of mediumship itself involves providing evidence. So is there such a thing as non-evidential mediumship, in your opinion?
Well, I think the term has been dragged through the mud a few times as far as what people understand it to be. You know, just bringing in a few things is nice. It's and sometimes leaves people wanting and leaves people just wondering. And what I believe to be evidence is really the communication with the other side. It's not just you know, facts and figures of things that might be. It's not suggestions. It's not manipulation. It's not mind reading. It's not conjecture. It's not fillers like, you know, okay, I have an Italian family, so there must be a Marie, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
Those kinds of things just can be generalized, and kind of they sound good. They even look good sometimes when being done. But mediumship, that's evidence, is really pushing for more, pushing for a communication where there's a question and a response. I don't think people sometimes understand that the medium is actually asking a lot of questions in their minds and trying to get as much information as they can. And to me, it's like walking into a house party and I don't know anybody. You know, I see a lot of faces and I hear a lot of conversation, but I'm getting bits and pieces. So I have to kind of focus in and say, who is this? Who do you belong with? What are you about? Go down what is some people call the litany or the name, rank, and serial number, as some people call it. But it's even more than that. It's saying, okay, if it's you, then what do you see around us? What do you know of us now that we would not have in mind? You know, who else would you bring in that maybe is not in the mind of the recipient? And those kinds of efforts by the medium really bring through bits and pieces of great information and great evidence that there is a continuity and that there is an intelligence to this, and that we're actually not just perceiving things and putting things together, but we're actually receiving information and collecting information that is an answer to our own question. So that's the way I see it, anyway.
Yeah, and listen, this is why you know, we respect your view of evidential mediumship, and we're pleased that you'll be joining us at the Medium Convention in Florida, because I know you'll be giving a talk about that. And you know, you mentioned a bit about the process, and you know, having the pleasure of watching you work over the years. You know, I see you sometimes when you're giving a piece of information to a sitter, and the sitter may not necessarily understand what you're saying, which happens, you know, with all mediums. But I also watch you go through the motions of saying, okay, you step back and you ask Spirit for more evidence. It sounds simple. But not all mediums do it. I mean, is that something you would advise all mediums to do if they're not getting the information that can be validated?
I think it comes with not being not being slothful about it, being more aggressive about the gift of mediumship, the actual abilities and talents, if you have them, to honor them and to push for more. One thing I like to do is always push for more. Always push for more evidence, something further, and to see where this goes. At the Forever Family Foundation, there's a lot about science and a lot about understanding the brain versus the mind, and how our perceptions, how far the reach of perception is, and then going beyond that into actual communication with the spirit world. You know, I was listening to you before about the hospice and how people see things, and that's something I've witnessed over the years. I used to be a chaplain in a major city hospital. I've watched people, you know, that had been totally, you know, out of it and laying still, actually get up and almost start to move their legs like they were walking towards the door calling their family member. I mean, that is not delusion. That's not some medication. That's an actual vision within the room, if you will. And there's a whole sense of how the energy changes in the room. We're talking about energy as well as we talk about being in the place of intelligence and place of the presence of this energy or this spirit. They, you know, it's not just it is a place of intelligence. It's an advanced mind, if you will. It's almost an evolved answer, if you will, that comes. We're not bound. They're not bound by the body or by the brain of this place. Submitted to time, submitted to the fears of death. It's really a place that sees us, I believe, differently. And I think a lot of people try to explain what it's like life after death and things like that. But I think we're gathering tremendous amounts of information. We're understanding the mind, the brain, the consciousness more, how it works and how far we can reach. As a medium, I look at this as, okay, somebody's objected to me. You know, they said, no, I don't understand that. I give them the name Jane, and they don't understand Jane. I'm going to go back into my own mind, and I'm going to allow my right brain to dominate, which is the imaginary mind, the creative side of the brain, and I'm going to ask it to create, show me what this means then. What does Jane mean? And maybe it brings me back to back to the 60s, and all of a sudden it's Mary Jane or something, you know.
Right.
And all that crazy thing pops into my head, and I said, well, then you would understand Mary. And I said, oh, yes, that's my mom's name. It's because we've mind-mapped the information, or we've even got a syllable of a word. Say I got iceberg in my head, and all of a sudden there's an image or a feeling, or I feel cold, and all of a sudden my awareness comes to an iceberg. And I would say to you and Fran, do you understand berg at all? Do you understand that? You know, no, we don't understand. And then I said, well, geez, why am I getting Jenny and Jenny? And if you put the two together, all of a sudden you got Ginsburg.
Right.
You know, it's a way of really heightening our awareness and using our intelligence to blend with what I believe is a greater intelligence, with the eagle eye overall. And we're kind of finding our way through the woods where they've got a sky view and they know exactly where things are.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you must marvel at their creativity, you know, when they're putting these images together, almost a game like charades to make you understand what they're trying to say.
Sometimes it's uncanny. It's just uncanny to me. It's I think the brilliance of the other side is in the way to find, to overwhelm time, a place, energies. I sat with a woman a while back in my office, and I have windows all the way around my office out to the street, and in my studio, and I drew her husband, and I, you know, had it all done, and she knew who it was, and we had talked about him. He was a great guy. I felt like I met a new friend, you know. It was just wonderful how it all came together. And then I said, well, now, hon, do you have any questions? And she said, well, you never gave me his name. I was like, oh, man. I was like, well, hold on a second, you know. And so I go, I'm sitting there, and I'm floundering, and I'm just wrenching, you know. I'm just like, oh, my God, you know, why didn't I, you know, what? I forgot all about, you know, I just didn't get it. And all of a sudden, a Stanley steamer truck went by my window. And it was just, you know, the place that cleans carpets or whatever.
Right.
The big yellow truck goes by the window, and I see Stanley on the thing, and I said, his name's Stanley. And she goes, yes. And she starts bawling. And that's brilliant. That's
right.
Not me. I can't make that happen. It just comes into my awareness, and it's put in front of me.
Yeah. I'm just
now
glad you didn't want if her husband's name was Steamer. You know, Joe, yeah. I listened to you describe, you know, that process, and you know, you like you were squirming, a little bit uncomfortable, you know, because I've always said that, you know, qualified mediums like yourself, I mean, deserve a tremendous amount of respect, because you very often provide a lifeline to those that are really on the edge, and with that comes a tremendous amount of responsibility. and pressure, in terms of the way we think of it in physical terms. I mean, do you feel pressure when you sit with somebody that's bereaved?
It depends on, sometimes the more I know about them, the worse it is. In other words, I like to not know people's last names. I like to just, to say hello. My name is Joe. Good. Nice to meet you. Hi, Bob. Nice to meet you, Fran, whatever. And that's it. Otherwise, the mind begins to wander to the left side, if you will. I believe it wanders to the practical mind, the mind that wants to figure it all out, the mind that knows how to tie shoes and drive a car. And that practical side can get in the way because it carries the ego, it carries the fears, it carries a lot of other things. And so I end up sitting there. If I let myself that happen to me, I begin to get in my own way. It's not spirit's fault. It's not the energy's fault. It's my fault. It's I'm not disciplined enough to stay in the right brain, stay in my zone, stay in my my etheric mind, my altered state of being. So one of the things I try to do is just stay in the altered mind. It's one of the reasons I don't look the client in the eye during a reading. A simple facial gesture can throw me off. They say I reminded them of something when they're a kid and they kind of like poo-poo it with their face. They go, oh, I remember that, And all of a sudden, my mind is going to completely shift and go, why did they do that? That can balk you. It's like balking at the plate and not being able to throw the pitch. It's not quite together. So I have to really stay disciplined and work on the discipline of staying with the place I'm at, which is the altered mind, the altered state of being, that mild trance state, if you will. And they used to call it mesmerized. It's like the self-hypnotic state. I like to call it, it's just like the daydream state. It's, when you're a kid and you looked out the windows at school when you couldn't stand the teacher.
Right.
And you kind of start to watch the little glare on the bumper of the car in the parking lot. Next thing you've missed half the class and you're asked a question and you're embarrassed because you're gone,
Right.
That's kind of where I'm at,
Yeah, well, when you think about it, look at all of these artistic pursuits that you have. They're all right brain, altered state of consciousness things. Art, music, writing, healing. That certainly your ego mind can get in the way of those things. So, you in right. in a good part of your creative life, you're following the same path that you do in mediumship, wouldn't you say?
I think some of the greatest musicians and people in theater and symphony and opera and they train for years and years, sometimes a lifetime, to have their beautiful voices and their instrument and to know how to play that instrument. But when it comes right down to it, once they're into the piece of music, once the music is heard, once there's that vibration, they're lost in the music. No audience is going to throw them off. Nobody is going to be able to take them away from that without a major distraction, if you will, because they've disciplined themselves to be there. The mediums are the same way. They can get distracted really easily. They can slip down to the psychic level. They can slip down to, just kind of fillers and things like that very, very easily. And it's a matter of staying with the message, staying with the information, staying with the back and forth of questioning and feeling. The one thing I think that people misinterpret is that all mediums are hearing them. It's just a voice in the wind or something, and we're just catching a few words, and that's the way it is. That is the people that are clear audience. Mediums that are clear audience. That may be quite similar to how they to how they hear them. But most mediums are listening with all their senses. So every single sense has a part in the information. If I see something, if I see a tomato, I might smell it too. If I see a tomato, I might smell it and then I might taste it. I might actually feel what it does to me as it's going down and filling my tummy. You know, that whole experience comes together because one sense perceived it. Most mediums have a master sense or a sense that begins things. It doesn't necessarily happen every day. It might happen differently at different times to people. With me, most of the time I start with clairvoyance. I see them. However, I love when it's taste and smell, because with taste and smell, I then go and remotely view. I can see more. I can be in the place where, if I see the car, I can get the license plate. You know, I can be in the room. I can see the picture. I've drawn some pictures based on pictures I've seen on a refrigerator that no longer exist. So it's not something the person in front of me is thinking about. It's not something I'm pulling out of their brain, basically. It's something that's I'm being led to that's familiar to me as well. I know sometimes, pictures are on refrigerators, and so the mind wraps it around it, and there you are. But it's the whole medium. It is the, and I consider the medium, and it, like what we just talked about with, say, someone who plays a violin in the symphony and has worked on it their whole life, that violin has to be tuned, it has to be taken care of, it has to be just so. And if it's not, it's not going to play well, it's not going to resonate well, the strings are going to scratch, the bow is not going to, have a smooth sound, there'll be a snap or a crackle that instead of the beautiful music it needs to be made. I consider the medium the same thing. If they're not taking care of themselves, if they don't discipline themselves, if they don't look at themselves with seriousness about this work and about the people, the seriousness of the people who are sitting in front of them, who have gone through, possibly the worst time of their life, losing a loved one, possibly the most horrendous time where they could doubt everything. There's a tremendous responsibility there, where the responsibility begins long before the reading. It begins with the medium actually taking stock and being serious about their instrument, about them, and learning everything they can so that they're ready for that time when that couple comes in who's lost the child, and they're ready to do it, and knowing full well that their energy is ready that day and they're all set to go, and not just like spinning through readings like it's fun. That's as much as this is curious and entertaining at times, because we're working with the unknown, it's also completely and tremendously serious in the fact that, and I'm not very, I'm not the most serious guy in the world, but when it comes to my work, I am.
Right.
Because I need to be. Because the last thing I want to do is not be at my full potential when someone sits in front of me. And I have no idea why they're there. But I know that, they're coming to a meeting for a reason, and that is because they lost somebody. And to me, they might not know them, but to them, it's everything. And that's my responsibility. So am I pressured sometimes? But do I have response? Sure, I do. Sure, I think every medium who's serious about their work or legitimate in what they do and has integrity is going to sit there with some level of, I need to be ready, I need to let go, let them use me, let them play me, but I also need to be serious about being ready to do that.
You couldn't have said it better, Joe. That's a wonderful answer. We're going to go to a break where we are talking with Joe Scheel. Website is josephscheel.com, and you can come see Joe at our November medium convention in Florida. So stay with us. When we come back, I want to ask Joe a little bit about spirit art. He can tell you about that process. We'll be back in a few minutes.
the CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti.com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Joseph T. Shield III. Our sponsor is the CAMLAC Center, and they can be found on the web at www.camlac.com. Our first annual mediumship convention is all set for the weekend of November 11th through 13th. And again, like our annual grief retreat, we are enjoying an early round of reservations, and the hotel block is filling up. Our Signs of Life radio guest tonight, Joe Scheel, is one of the presenters at this fabulous weekend, so we know all of our listeners are going to want to meet him and work with him in person in our breakout workshops. In addition, if you know you're coming, You have only until Wednesday, August 31st, that's 1 week, to save a chunk of money by taking advantage of our early bird special. Like our original Afterlife Conference, this is another first of its kind, a convention totally dedicated to the world of mediumship, run by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, taught by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, and spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Reservations can be made on our website, and as always, please keep in mind our no-refund policy before making your reservations. Also keep in mind that you can always support this event as a sponsor and or by taking out an ad in the program. You can sign up now also for our September webinar, The Medium Potential Within Us All, featuring Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Neil Zapowski, Tracy Lee Nash, and Eliza Ray. And for our listeners tonight, here are the secret codes. If you are a member and have satisfied the 30-day membership waiting period, use the word certified when you check out and get yourself a free seat. And if you're a non-member, use the code 3, the number 3, mediums, for a half-price seat. You can also check the events page on our website regularly for these and other events and announcements. That's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And lastly, our annual Holidays Pass raffle is up and waiting for your entries to support the great work of our 100% volunteer organization. Win up to 5 medium readings in our drawing set for December 23rd. The mediums in this year's raffle are Catherine Nadal, Heidi Jaffe, Tracy Lee Nash, Renata Santarelli, and Lee Ashley. And please help keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. And if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
You can breathe now. And we're back with Joseph Scheel. As Fran pointed out, it'd be a good idea for me to spell Joe's last name,
yes,
which is S-H-I-E-L. So the website is josephshiel.com. Joe, before in the first half we were talking, we mentioned a few times about this concept of you drawing spirit. My guess is that the majority of people that have seen mediums over the years don't know a thing about that or what it is. So can you just give us an overview of spirit art and how you incorporate that?
Well, a lot of it, it comes in different ways to me. So sometimes it's like automatic writing. In other words, it's I feel like I need to draw this particular image, and it just comes out on the page. It automatically. Some of my quickest, sketches are more, there's more essence in them than some of my labored drawings, if you will. It's just like, it's almost like reaches through and just comes through and I draw it really quickly. And those are wonderful when that happens. When I first began all this, I had drawn when I was a child these things as well, but I didn't understand them. But when I finally began to understand what was happening, I started drawing numbers of faces that I saw. It's like a walking into that house party and not knowing anybody, so I draw everybody, you know. And so I've done many, many multiple drawings of which the faces are different family members, and done as many as 22, and just last week did one with 17 family members, that type of thing. It's an extraordinary feeling, and as the information begins to come, and what I like about it the most is that it is a tangible piece of evidence that we're actually seeing the person's face. Sometimes it's not the person I went to draw, which is interesting. When I draw a single portrait, I'll go to draw a mom and end up drawing the aunt. And some people might be quite disappointed with that. However, my contention is, isn't that intelligence? Isn't that the way that spirit puts something there that I would not have even had in my mind? and yet it's there, and it's and the portrait matches that of the person that is also in spirit, which is interesting. So I feel that the process for me is one of, again, the same as I spoke about before, involving the entire medium or the entire my entire self as the instrument to kind of perceive all these different aspects of this person, and really just two eyes, a nose, and a mouth is, you know, it's a face. However, it's the essence of that person that I'm really reaching for. I want to know them. I want to look at them and say, wow, there they are. There's their smile. There's their frown. There's their seriousness. There's their attitude, you know. It's all there in the picture. There's that special, some of the things that have happened over the years that I really find extraordinary is a pendant might show up that they used to wear, or a ring that they left. I drew a young mom who had actually died from suffocation. She choked to death in a party, and nobody noticed as she was on the and it was a terrible thing. But she was young. She was only in her 20s, and she already had two children. And she passed away, and I was doing the reading for the mom over the phone to Kentucky, I believe it was, somewhere. And when I sent the picture down, I had put a ring and two little birthstones on the neck of this woman's face. When it got there, I got a call from them, and the other daughter, the sister, had really lost it when the picture showed up, because not only did it look like her, but that pendant that was put on her, the sister had put it on without telling the mom, who I was doing the reading for. She had put it on with the coroner in the coffin before they closed the coffin for the last time. She put that, and it was her wedding ring and the kids' two birthstones. So she had put that on her as an honoring, you know, that they're with her. And so she was the only one that knew about it. And I didn't know about it. I just kind of drew it on there. That kind of, you know, phenomena, if you will, that kind of inspiration that came through to that piece of work, that drawing, just told me that this is well beyond me. I can't really take the credit for it other than being able to allow them to help me do the drawing, help me move the pencil in the right direction. I've pushed myself over the years to do them in color, to start to get more details, to understand their life, their clothing, what they like to be in life, that type of thing. So I think with spirit art, there are a number of people who are beginning to practice it and beginning to try it, and I'm thrilled by that. I think the more we have, the more we'll see, and there's more chance of seeing more. And so I think that my little saying is, if a picture paints 1,000 words, and when you only have a reading for half an hour, an hour, 1,000 extra words isn't bad. You know, that helps. It gives more detail.
And I've seen, Joe has these loose leaf binders filled with drawings that he's done, and then the sitters were kind enough to send Joe the actual photos of the person that he drew. And the in most of the cases, the likeliness is uncanny, and you hit it. It's, you know, the tangible evidence on top of the reading really brings it home. You know, you can't question it once you see that. So right. It's a wonderful gift. Maybe that's why you were gifted with your artistic ability to round out or fulfill your mediumship.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting. You know, the things that I've learned about ever since I became a medium was, you know, the fact that my grandmothers both did this work. I didn't know that when I was growing up, and that my mom, who died when she was young, was a portrait artist. So it's like this type of thing kind of flows in the family, you know. And so I just found it as interesting, and it's kind of honoring more what I what I hope to even get better at. And that's, I don't think I'll ever be done, Bob. I think I got a long way to go, but I really feel that sometimes it's just wonderful. You know, I did a reading last week for a woman who didn't recognize the picture at all. She's looking at it, she's like shaking her head, and you know, and I guess I'm getting weathered enough that I wasn't that frustrated. I just said, "Well, take it home with you, see if anybody." And I'll try again. I'll try another time for you. And we'll get it. Don't worry about it. And so she took it home, and she left it on the table. And her husband walked in, and he goes, "Oh my God, you know, where did you get this? You know, where did you find this in the house?" He goes, "You know, it's my uncle, Ed." So. They have intelligence. They'll work and they'll find their way to us. And I believe that if mediumship can be of integrity and of goodness and really for the right reasons, I think that a lot of us are going to learn a lot more in the next several years about the love that comes and continues. So.
Mm. I know that we only have a couple of minutes left, but can you briefly, we get one question that we get a lot is people want to know, are mediums born with the ability or can it be taught? How would you answer that?
I don't want to sound like a snob. I know that I've had this ability since I was a child in a high chair. That doesn't mean necessarily that everybody's that way. I've known people who have had near-death experiences, kind of traumatic life experiences, who have changed their life and changed the way they think, changed the way they are. I've known people that worked on their spiritual life instead of their business life, if you will. And I'm not saying everybody should quit their jobs and come this way. It's about having a nature of letting go and becoming to believe in something that is greater than ourselves, something greater than what we know, and to reach out and to ask those questions. I'm one of the world's biggest skeptics, and yet I think it keeps me healthy and real sometimes. I just say, okay, is that real? Is that my mind thinking of it, or is it being blended with me? You know, and I think that people can learn. I think it's valuable for people to learn about their intuition, their own psychic ability. I think we all have that. And we all mediums have to go through that psychic energy, that initial drift, if you will. They have to go through that to get to where they are. Mm-hmm. So who's to say if people can't move forward from there? I think it might come easier to some. But there's some great guitarists that weren't born as guitarists.
Right.
You know, they learned it, they disciplined themselves, and they became very good at it.
Well, that's a good analogy. And on that note, Joe, thank you very much for being with us. Again, we've been talking with Joseph Scheel, author of The Edge of Wilderness, a wonderful book of poetry. And the website is josephscheel, SHIEL.com. Thanks, Joe, and we'll see you in November.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Fran. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Alex Hanna, Trevor McKinney, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsberg, Joan Lipke, Diane Archangel, Doreen Malloy, James Rafferty, Fred Feinstein, Matt Mello, Donna Mello, Marianne Pierschka, David Hayes, Michael Tim, Glenna Irwin, Stanley Mullen, Karen Gould. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.